Hi, this is Chris Finwood, and you're listening to The Monarchist.
I'm Aaron.
And I'm Mike.
And you're listening to The Monarchist Podcast. Today, we got Coach Ricky Ronnie back in the studio. We're going to talk about spring football, the summer, NIL, all kinds of stuff. Coach, welcome back to the world's best and only ODU podcast.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, we're lucky to have you, as always. Spring ball was capped off last month with the spring game. What was your overall feeling on how spring ball went?
Yeah, I felt good about the overall outcome of spring ball. I thought we played pretty physical, and I thought we developed more depth across the board. I was particularly pleased with how our special teams coordinator, Coach Smith, designed some of our drills there. I think that that's really going to help us. I thought it made us a better fundamental football team, but I also think that it'll help us long-term in special teams and also know who we need to be putting in certain spots. And then I just thought overall we made some strides from a culture standpoint on both sides of the ball and also – you know, added a couple schemes that I thought were going to help us out. I think in general, I thought spring ball was a success.
All right, Coach. So I know you're excited about a lot of different places. Was there a position battle that surprised you with how competitive it was?
I don't know if I was surprised with any of how competitive they were, but I was pleasantly, you know, surprised with our overall depth maybe of at safety. You know, we added some transfers there. But then the guys who were coming back, I thought they did a really nice job. I mean, obviously in the secondary, we don't have any returning starters coming back. But I think there's been some guys who have played some ball, and then there's guys who played ball other places too, right? And so being able to – I like our depth there where I feel very solid about our two deep at even a minimum. I mean, at some of those possessions, I feel really good even about our, you know, the third guy there. I think that that was really – that was a nice feeling. And then at running back, the additions that we added there, along with some of the guys we had returning, I thought our running back room showed me that that can be a real positive for us in the future.
All right. Did spring ball show you any areas you felt you needed to put extra attention on? If so, what is
it? Well, I don't know if we need to put any extra attention on it, but I think we have to continue to be more efficient and consistent in the passing game. At all positions, whether it's the guys running the routes, the guys protecting, the guy throwing the ball all across the board. We just have to be more consistent there. We've shown the ability to make some big plays, to make some splash plays, to do those sort of things. But we just have to be more consistent and be able to defeat man coverage really more reliably than we did in the past. And I think that we can, and we showed that even during the spring, that we showed the ability to do that. So that'd be one area. And then, you know, I think, again, I thought we showed it. I thought our defensive line did a much better job in the spring of getting off blocks, both in the pass and the run game. But if we can continue to focus on that over the summer, continue to develop that, I think that's going to be huge. And it's funny because a lot of times when you're going against each other, it's like, well, are they not doing a good job? Or are they doing better? But I thought our defensive line really improved at getting off blocks. It was a situation where our offensive line was finishing blocks better, but our defensive line was really showing an improved technique at getting off blocks, which is something that you love to see. Coach Vic does a good job of that, and those guys really focused on it in their offseason preparation. And I think that's something that you'd like to see continue on into the summer.
All right, Coach, so we know injuries are a big part of the game. Football is a physical sport. You know, there's different things that you can do, like starting tackling later and those sorts of things. How did spring football go? Did we make it through relatively unscathed with injuries? How are the fellas looking?
Yeah, we made it through relatively unscathed. In fact, one of our only injuries that we had that's going to keep a guy out for next season happened in a one-on-one, not even full contact special teams drills. Those are those sort of things. You know, it's funny. I don't know. I mean, the whole tackling thing, we did less tackling than we did in the past. That is fact. We did less tackling in the spring than we did in the past so that we can maintain, we could get enough reps and not have guys hurt and things like that. But I will admit that I'm not sure that that matters. When I look at a lot of the season-ending injuries we've had, most of them have happened not during tackling. Most of them have happened either during – a lot of them have happened during non-contact drill work and that sort of thing. I mean, we've had a guy, you know, tear his Achilles running routes. You know what I mean? I mean, we had a guy tear his ACL a few years ago in a tag off drill. We had, you know, like we talked about, this special teams drill was an injury, and so things like that. So I think that sometimes that gets a little overblown of how much of it is during the tackling. I think those are the injuries that we all remember, you know, like Willis McGahee back in the day in the bowl game and things like that. Jake Butt, those sort of injuries we remember. But if you go back and you actually look at what's happening, I don't think there's as many of those as we think. But and also, our guys do have to tackle, right? I mean, we can't go into the first game and not have tackled. So it's a fine line between trying to keep the guys healthy while also making sure that they're going to be effective and that they're able to maximize their own personal potential, which is going to help our team maximize their potential. So it is a fine line in that, making it on those two things. You know, I mean, I would argue that my old league, the Ivy League, is big on saying that they don't tackle, they don't do this, and they don't do that. You know, I wonder if those teams are better than they used to be. Are they truly healthier too? I don't know that. I don't know one way or another. And I would like to see what the injuries are. They may be healthier from a 1 or 2 week injury thing, but are they healthy? Which to me, those are kind of, I don't know. Those it's hard to measure those, you know.
Quick follow-up to that, Coach. I find this really interesting. We were talking about a lot of those injuries are non-contact. I'm curious of your opinion on that. Is these guys are becoming so fast and more explosive than ever. What can you attribute those types of injuries to other than just bad luck?
I mean, they are bigger, faster, stronger than they used to be. So there's that. I think that that's it. I think, much like a lot of things, information, like we just know about them more, right? Before, you guys just never found out and a guy just wasn't playing or whatever and no one really said anything. And so maybe there's just a little bit more information out there than there used to be. So the access to that kind of, I think, sometimes gets to it. In terms of the high school kids and younger, I believe that it has a little bit to do with specialization. You know, your training, if you're always doing the same training for the same sports, you're always training the same muscles, the same movements, I think that that's an issue. Back in the day when a kid went from football to basketball, basketball to either lacrosse, track, or baseball, or he went from football to wrestling, wrestling to, you know, baseball, you know, whatever. I think that that made it a little bit more where you're training a bunch of different things. You know what I mean? For like me, going from football to really skiing and then skiing to track or baseball or my son's. My oldest son, this year, he will have been on a team for football, volleyball, basketball, lacrosse, and track. And I think it's really good because I remember him telling me how slow he was, and then he keeps winning his race in the 400 every week. You know what I mean? So I think that it's a good thing for everybody. Like, kind of maybe he's starting to see that, hey, maybe I'm not slow. You know, maybe I'm a little faster than I think, and those sort of things. So I just wish that people younger, especially, would play more sports and continue to develop and compete and that sort of thing.
All right. So roster management, we talked about it earlier last time we had you on, but we keep a running tab of all the roster movement on our website. We do this to kind of help visualize what's happening. This offseason, we've seen 55 members of the team move on through graduation, transfer, or just hanging up their cleats. This includes a large number of walk-ons who are finding scholarship opportunities at the FCS level. Could you give us an idea of how that outflow is looked at inside the football offices?
I mean, I think I wish that, you know, all the guys would stay for their 4 or 5 years and that sort of thing. But the reality of it is that's not the modern landscape. And I'm going to have a hard time saying to a young man who's a walk-on, I can't offer you a scholarship, but I think you should stay here when there's scholarship money out there for him. Now, me, myself, I'm probably look at it a little bit different than everybody else because I was a four-year walk-on. There are no scholarships in the Ivy League. So, I never had a scholarship. So it was a little different. Now, that being said, I also was playing, right? You know what I mean? So some of these guys leave. It's not for the money. It's for the playing time. You know, some of these guys are like, Coach, I listen to you every day talk about how important it is to play and how you don't get this opportunity again and all those sort of things. And some of these guys are like, Coach, I just want to go play. I just want to play. Like, I don't think I'm going to play here. And I just want to play. And I know I'm only going to play for a year or two more. And that's it. And that's fine with me. But I want to lay it out on the field. So I can't really get mad at those guys. And I don't think anybody should. You know, when it comes to some of the other guys, the graduation and all that sort of stuff, that's going to happen. I mean, we're going to have to, you know, there's some decisions to be made on our end. There's decisions to be made on other people's end. I mean, you don't want it to be, but this is a little bit more of a business than it has been in the past. And so I understand that. I think that sometimes we look at this thing and everyone looks at it as like, we have a guy on our staff who calls it main character syndrome, right? And he says that everybody looks at their life as if they are the main character in some movie, right? And I think even sometimes our fans do that, like that their school is the only school that exists. The reality of it is every single school in the country is going through this. I mean, you know, Washington, yeah, they had a coaching change or whatever, but they lost a national championship game. I mean, they've lost half their team. You know what I mean? I mean, every single team in the country is going through these transitions. And the other thing that happened is before, no one knew about the walk-ons leaving. Like, no one knew. But now, you know, somebody posts something and no one knows if they're a walk-on or not a walk-on. So every single kid that leaves, even though the fan has never heard of that person before once and never cheered for them one time in their lives, they automatically assume this is the worst loss that's ever happened. What possibly can be going on there that all these people are leaving all the time and all this sort of stuff? It's like, you don't even know that person's jersey number. You know what I mean? It's one of those things that I think that we all have this thing that it's only happening to us. And it's not. It's happening across the country. Does that make it better? No, it doesn't. I'm not dismissing the fact that it doesn't, that it's not something that I need to continue to work on. I need to continue to study to see what we can do to improve our retention rate and things like that. But the reality of it is we're graduating our kids. They're still getting good grades. We're making an impact in the community and things like that. And that this program is not going to be a fit for everybody. I mean, it's not, I am not a fit for everybody. I know that. Like, listen, I mean, like, you know, my wife is a saint because I am an acquired taste at best. And so like, I, you know, there's some guys that really like me and some guys that don't. There's some guys like our staff. Some guys don't like, you know, we just need to continue to find the right guys and those sort of things. And I think that we have, I feel better about our overall culture and our overall team this year. You know, I feel like going into this year, we've made some huge strides.
All right, Coach, before I go on to my next question, I just want to take a really quick step back. You talked about playing for the love of football, not being on scholarship in the Ivy League. A week ago, it's a Sunday, I turn on the TV, and Varsity Blues is on the TV. And now that movie is semi, it's changed for me because the couple spots that you talked about, the scholarship and I can't remember the other one off the top of my head now, but yeah, I can't watch that movie same way.
It was the scholarship and the fact that
the coach,
the assistant coaches leave too, right? Exactly. It's like what happened there? You know what I mean? Like, that one's certainly not my favorite as we have discussed. Yeah.
All right, so. On the flip side of everything that you and Mike just talked about with regards to student athletes taking their opportunities to move on, that also means that a significant amount of new talent is coming into your program. Mm-hmm. Is there a position group that suddenly become a strength that wasn't or you weren't expecting?
Well, like I talked about, I like the depth of the safety room. I like the depth of the running back room. I think both of those are really good. I was impressed just over the spring. I was really impressed with what Coach Weeks was able to do with the tight end group. thought he did a great job of coaching those guys up. I think they can be a real impact for us. Excited about what can happen there. That was really good. I do like, you know, the culture we're building in the offensive line room. Like that. Need to still bring in a couple pieces here in this version of the transfer portal. But really like the culture we're building there. Same with the D line. Like I talked about it, like the way they're working, like the way they're getting off blocks, that sort of thing. So was happy there. I've really been happy with the improvement we made across the board. I don't think there's one position group where I left there saying, hey, man, we didn't get better there this spring. I felt like we really did all across the board. And overall, I think our overall depth is going to improve at essentially every position across the board, which I thought, if you guys remember, which I thought going into last year, right? And that was a huge component in my mind to us having a better year than we did the year before.
All right. I'd love to talk to you more about the tight ends, but we got to keep it moving. We have noticed a trend of some athletes throughout the country who are going to their third or fourth colleges, which to me is a sign that graduation or their education is taking kind of a backseat to the portal movement. Because after all, if you're transferring every offseason, the likelihood of you ever graduating with a valuable degree is pretty low. We'd love to hear your take on what can be done to reinstitute the importance of a college degree at the FBS level.
I don't know. I don't disagree with you, though. In fact, I agree with you pretty substantially. For whatever reason, a college degree is less valued in at least football and basketball than it used to be. And that's sad. I don't know. I wish I knew, because I think it needs to be reemphasized. You guys got me thinking. I think maybe we need to look back and see at the qualification element of collegiate sports and what it means to be a qualifier out of high school. We've lowered those expectations. And I would like to see whether the lowering of those things has what it has done to our graduation rate. Now, the problem is when you study that is we've also in the meantime, we have also made it easier for people to transfer. So now is it a chicken or an egg scenario? But what I would also like to see is like, okay, people who maybe would not have been qualifiers before, do they have a higher rate of transferring? And then if they do, are they graduating or are they not graduating? But something needs to be done, not from a limiting of their ability to transfer, but we do need to make sure that these people are graduating. I think that that's something that's really important, because there's money to be had out there in the NIL space, and I understand that. But long term, I don't know. Some of that money is not as important as maybe some of the other ones in terms of having a college degree and things like that. Now, I think overall, college degrees are being valued less in our society. You know, people are saying, I don't need to go to college to be successful. I can do this. I can do that. I can. And I think all of those things are really, really important. My problem is those stats are always correct that you don't need a college degree to be successful. But most of the time, those people have trades. Like they have a trade, right? Like, okay, you're right. You don't need to be successful to have a college degree. You don't have to have that to be successful. But what are you going to do? And if your answer is, I'm going to own a business, that's not an answer. Like, what business? Like, what are you going to do? You know, if your answer is, I'm going to be a day trader, that's not realistic, right? I mean, what are we talking about? Like, what kind of trade do you have? Because I if you also look at our country right now, we have a lack of, I don't know how this is a thing, but somehow at the same time that college degrees have got less important in our society, we also have a lack of people with trades, with skills. I mean, like, you could make a fortune having a trade at this time. And so, like, how are those two both, like, they should be, like, intersecting, and they're not, you know what I mean? And so that the fact that those two things are both happening at the same time is wild. I don't know where all those people are going. Like, where is that subset of people going that's doing neither? I have a feeling I know where they're going, and it's not exactly good for the rest of us.
Man, we could talk about this one for an hour. Maybe we'll save that as one of the topics for anything but football with Ricky Ronnie.
And we'll just all right. We'll
take,
sounds good.
Take the non-football stuff because, oh, man. All right, Coach, let's talk about NIL a little bit. It's become becoming a common discussion point in college recruiting, whether that be you recruiting transfers or maybe even at the high school level. You know well more than we do. Would you say that during the recruiting process, it's a major sticking point, or is it quite overblown?
Neither. Comes up with probably every single kid, but that doesn't necessarily mean a sticking point. I'm honest with how our collective operates and those sort of things, and how, you know, our collective is aimed to be about retention on guys and that sort of thing. And I think that that's the right way to do it. I was having a conversation today. I think the biggest issue in terms of being overblown is I do think eventually there has to be some sort of national registry that gets put out there for not by kid. Like, I don't necessarily want to say, hey, you know, Johnny is getting this, right? But I do think that it should be like, hey, the average Sun Belt player, average Sun Belt scholarship player is making this. The average NCAA player is making this. Because what's happening right now is there's a lot of numbers that get thrown around that aren't, I don't believe them to be accurate one way or another, either short or either small or big. Right. And where that affects it is, you know, and there's a lot of kids who, you know, maybe they, it hurts their pride to say what they're actually getting, right? Because they maybe have been promised this by some unscrupulous people and that sort of thing. And so for them to say, well, no, I'm actually only getting this, you know, that makes them kind of look foolish and it hurts their pride. Right. And then I think there's other people who are like, well, I don't want to say how much I'm getting because, you know, for whatever reason. So I wish there was a national registry. Again, I don't even think it should be available for you to see by player, but I do think that there should be, it would be really nice if you could at least have it by position, but it'd be even, I would settle for just like scholarship, non-scholarship, whatever. I think that that would be extremely helpful for everybody because, hey, are we competitive or are we not? Do we have, you know, are we truly competing with our peer institutions or are we way behind or are we way ahead, you know, and that sort of thing. So I think that that's something that I would like to see done. I don't think it will be.
All right. So for those fans who have not joined the Pride of ODU Collective, what would you say to them to encourage them to join?
Well, I would just say that I think that not only is it a great opportunity to support our student athletes directly, you know, a lot of people want to help the kids and that sort of thing. I think this is a way to directly help them. I also think it's a way for us as Old Dominion to show how important our university is just and how much pride we have in it. I mean, that's why it's called that, right? That's why it's the Pride of ODU. I mean, let's continue to show, you know, how much this university means to all of us. And I think that it can help us give our student athletes that feeling. Hey, these people really support me, not only by being at the game, but through other ways and continue to develop that pride. And I think that that's something that we've got to just continue to go through. This is an ever-changing landscape. And as we continue to go through this landscape, I know I'm interested in trying to find as many ways as possible to give the people who do give to the collective a little bit something extra, whatever that is, whether that's more podcasts, more whatever. I'm willing to do whatever. And I know a lot of the other coaches are and people in the administration are as well. So right here, right now, it's a little bit of a trust and a faith thing. And it's something that we can just show all the whole country of what, you know, Old Dominion is and what it will continue to be.
What's up, Monarch Nation? This is Aaron from the Monarchist Podcast. The Pride of ODU Collective will be hosting their next event on May 20th at Afterglow Brewing. Head coach Mike Jones will be there answering questions. Members of the collective will get a benefit for attending. This event will be open for all Old Dominion fans. You'll also have an opportunity to join the collective if you haven't been able to do that yet. Follow the Pride of ODU social media as well as all Monarchist social media as more details will be released, and we hope to see you there.
All right, Coach, so this semester's ending. I think most guys are probably taking their exams or maybe even done at this point. So summer will be fast approaching. Can you talk to us about summer workout nutrition plans for, you know, most of your student athletes? Can you paint that picture for us so we get a better understanding of what that's like?
Yeah, so all our guys are done. School's over. I'll get grades on Wednesday. So they'll be back on May 27th, which is Memorial Day. We have a 5 o'clock team meeting, which turns into like a cookout and that sort of thing. And then they'll be rip roaring and ready to go. Summer is 9 total weeks, but they get designated as 8 weeks that they are mandatory to be here. They are not here from July 3rd to July 9th. So that Wednesday through that Tuesday, they get that time off. Summer is about, they have really 4 things a week with us as coaches in terms of they'll have 2 on the field outside, and then they'll have 2 in the meeting room. Those will be for a half hour each day. And then, they're with the strength coaches for 6 total hours during the week. So they're with them for, there's some team runs, there's some individual runs, or not individual, but like group runs. There's some runs that are the whole team. There's lifts that, you know, they lift at 3 different times a day and that sort of thing. And then there's also some opportunities where, you know, everyone's together and then, you know, the coaches are not there anymore. And then they do some 7-on-7 work and things like that, as player led. So, you know, it's a great opportunity to learn, great opportunity to get better, great opportunity for fellowship and develop a team culture. I think that's where a lot of the player leadership comes from, is from the summer. You're going to know how productive your summer goes is really a product of how organized your coaches are, how dynamic your strength coach is, and then how much player leadership you have. And those are the 3 things that kind of determine, you know, what type of summer you have.
All right. So you said at May 26th, the team reports. We know that we know that the portal is still open and we're still seeing player movement. How many scholarships are available for next year? What positions should we be looking for additions at? And when should fans expect the roster to be completed?
Well, I mean, we're going to take as long as we have to complete the roster. I mean, but obviously we would like that to be completed as early as possible. I mean, realistically, before June, I mean, before July, rather, excuse me, in June would be everything would be finally completed. We'd like to add it at the wide receiver position. We'd like to add at the offensive line position and at the D line. Those are the main areas that we would like to add right now. But yeah, we'll have some guys showing up. We'd like to have, if we could have it all done by May 27th and have them here all summer, that'd be fantastic. That would be ideal. Because the reality of it is the coaches aren't here for very much July. The coaches, they have their time off with their families and whatnot. So that's part of it. You get some time during that time to take, you know, with their families. And it's a great time because, again, that's that player leadership time, but it's also great because the players need to be away from us as coaches a little bit too.
All right, Coach. So as a podcast for fans by fans, we're consistently getting people asking us questions, and we ask folks, and we have some fans submitted questions. No karate question this time.
Okay.
But the first one is, apart from donating to ODAF and the collective, how can fans help in recruiting?
Come to games. Coming to games is as big a point as anything. You know, come to games. Like, fill up that stadium and make it the best possible atmosphere that we can possibly have. And I think that would be a massive, massive, massive help. If we can show that over and over again, that would be huge. That's one. The other one is, listen, online, just if you're a true fan, use the advice that our mother gave us all to our players and recruits. If you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. Right? Again, to me, say whatever you want. I'm fine. But to our players and to recruits, yeah. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. You know, you don't need to say anything when they choose to go to another school, because guess what? They might end up coming back around. You don't need to say anything when they don't make the play you want them to make, because, you know, whatever. So those are the two main things. Yeah. Number one, man, come out and support us. Be at the games if you can. I understand not everyone can. We have fans across the world. We have fans listening to this stuff. I know you guys talked about, you got some fans in Alaska and all over the place, right? And we have fans literally across the world based on our affiliation really with the military and things like that. So, I mean, I understand that. But if you have an opportunity to come to a game anywhere, whether it's here or on the road, like, show up. And I think that's critical.
Now, I do need to correct you there. We don't have fans in Alaska. There's two states we've never had anyone listen to us in. We have all other 48 knocked out, but it's New Mexico and Alaska. That's it.
So if you know anybody, Coach, we got like 38 countries, but those two states have eluded us so far.
All right, I can get Alaska covered tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll make sure my cousin Amanda listens to it. I'll just tell her to make sure she gets on and clicks on it, so we can get that knocked out of there. She's in Fairbanks, Alaska, so we can get that knocked out. Or I think my mom is going to Alaska. Does she have to be in Alaska when it happens, or does she have to primarily live there?
I think you need to listen while you're there.
Oh man, because I think my mom was. That stinks, because my mom, who listens, I know my mom listens to you guys and all that sort of stuff. My mom listens to everything, you know. So I think that she was in Alaska over the winter to see the Northern Lights and everything. So that would have been a great opportunity for her to do that. I didn't know that, or we could have knocked that one out already.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about Alaska, but we just haven't been able to get it. Maybe we need a hockey team or something.
Yeah, hockey's not as big up there as you think it is. It's really not, yeah. It's not as big. Alaska Fairbanks has a team and things like that, but it's not as big as you think. Yeah. They do like football. It just happens at a different time. Their high school football starts in July. So it is over by, I think it's over by
and
Halloween.
And that's when they have their long days, so, right?
Yeah. I mean, like when I was up there, I mean, it depends on where you're at, but like when I was up there, I mean, last summer, yeah, it's like 23 hours of sunlight. I mean, it's pretty sick. We went golfing. I think we got done at like 11:30 at night. It was awesome. It
sounds like my high school coach's dream. He would have been able to do 5-a-days.
Oh, I mean, it was sweet. I mean, it was sweet. Now, the only bad part is like, you know, there's mosquitoes. There's these big giant mosquitoes everywhere and all that sort of stuff. It is pretty sweet.
All right. So continuing the fan questions. Obviously, they're always going to ask about the quarterback room, but I'll tack on to that. You mentioned safety already, but they also asked us to ask you about the safety position.
Okay. I mean, quarterbacks, obviously, you know, we lost one in the portal and we'll add one there. So feel good about where that room is going to be at the quarterback position and in terms of not only experience, but overall talent and depth. Feel good about that. So that's going to be something that's going to be a positive. In the safety room, like I said, I just think we're deeper. I just feel like, yeah, we don't have necessarily as many starts at Old Dominion, but we have some guys who have started games before across many other schools. We have some guys who are ready from our system. And I just feel like we have a deeper room there, which is going to help us be better on special teams, because we really feel like we can play a bunch of guys. So that's a room that I've been happy with the way Coach Repsock has coached it. But really, I'm really happy about the overall depth there that maybe we haven't had in the past.
All right, Coach. So I know we covered this in the spring a little bit, but fans continue to ask about the 3-man front. So I don't know if you got anything else to say about that or give us an update and how that's coming together, but we get asked a lot.
No, I mean, I think it's been a thing that's allowed us to recruit a little bit better in terms of guys that we're going to be able to fit and those sort of things. It was obviously a thing that helped us. Our middle linebacker was still able to make a ton of plays, right? And those sort of things. I think that it's one of those things that I don't think that people quite understand maybe what they're looking at all the time and that sort of thing. We're still going to be aggressive. We're still going to penetrate. We need to get off blocks and transition rush on play action passes a little bit better and to create more pressure on the quarterback. That's got to be something that happens. We've got to continue to be more effective blitzers when we do blitz. But in general, I've been happy with the way the three down front has allowed us to continue to play good defense.
All right. So last year we got the racetrack logo added to the uniform and helmet rotation. Do we have any uniform surprises for next year?
Well, that wouldn't be a surprise if I told you.
You don't have to tell us what it is. You can just say there is one in the works.
There will be another addition, yes. So feel good about that. Again, I want to make sure that we're making additions in the right way, that we maintain our brand. And it's not doing things that are going outside our brand or outside. One thing I always want to make sure is that everyone knows that ODU is playing. And I think it's something that we need to continue to do. The racetrack logo, people liked it, seemed like it kind of fit everybody. Newer alumni kind of like it, and older alumni kind of harkens back to some stuff that they were used to and things like that. A little bit like the Hudson Blue uniforms, which I think people have grown to like as well. So, yeah, we'll continue to search for things like that.
All right, Coach. We know that you don't like to talk about injuries very often, but people are curious on how Jason's coming along. How's his progress as he recovers from his injury?
Yeah, no, he's been making progress. I mean, it's these type of injuries are a long road, but it's something that he makes progress each and every day. And I think that's one of the things that is sometimes hard is when you're a guy who's been as successful as him and so hard charging and those sort of things, like you want it to happen right now. And, like I try to remind him, hey, you didn't start right from the beginning when you were here as a freshman either, right? It's a process and you've got to continue to work through it and know that each day you're getting a little bit better, even though you may not feel that way. He's embraced that and feel good about, where he's at right now in relation to, where he is time-wise in his recovery.
All right. So this is my question. I'm very excited to talk to you about it because we know how you love rules. In March, two new rule proposal changes were introduced by the Rules Committee. The introduction of the two-minute warning to college football and to allow helmet communication for one player on the field, signified by a green dot on the helmet. Communication between the two would be cut off with 15 seconds left on the play clock or when the ball is snapped, whichever comes first. Now, we have talked about helmet communication before. We know what you wanted. You wanted it for everybody. But could you let us know your thoughts on these two proposals and your expectation on whether they'll be approved or not?
They're both happening. This is happening. The 2 minute warning, I'm for two reasons. Number one, they claim that there's not going to add an extra TV timeout. So if we're not going to add an extra TV timeout and we're going to have it, I'm all for it because I think every single one of us immediately thought that it was going to be extra TV timeout and that sort of thing, which I don't think any of us were for. You know what I mean? So like that was once I found out that there was not to be an additional TV timeout, that made it nice. The other reason why I'm for it is we had rules that changed from the 2 minute when the clock rules from over 2 minutes and under 2 minutes. In terms of the clock pausing up first downs and like there's a bunch of different things now that happen there. So because of that, I was for it because I think now it's like, hey, so everyone's aware things are changing now. The rules have changed as opposed to before. It was like it just kind of happened and we hope that everyone was aware of it. So I do like it for that reason. The helmet communication, like I said, I wish everyone had it. Well, I think it's going to be, there's a couple different things that are a little strange about it. Like only having one guy with a green dot on the field at one time. That's a little bit easier on offense than it is on defense. What if your backup middle linebacker, what if your middle linebacker is the one making the calls and your backup middle linebacker is actually starting Will? So now he has to have two helmets. You know, there's some things on special teams. There's a lot of different things when it comes to that, that I think are some logistics that we don't necessarily think about. My big thing is if we have the ability to shut the thing off, right, then why can't we just shut off one of the helmets? You know what I mean? Like if we trust each other to shut the thing off, why can't we just shut off one of the helmets and only have one helmet working at a time? I don't understand why it has to be this whole thing. So, yeah. So there's a couple different things that I don't understand about this one necessarily. But, you know, I think in general, I don't think it's going to solve the issue that they all want it to solve, which is the sign stealing. I mean, if you're on defense, you don't know if they're going to go no huddle or not. So you still have to have signals to signal into your guys the plays. Because like you don't know if they're going to huddle or not. So I don't know how does that solve anything then? The only way it gets solved is if everybody has that technology in their ear and they can hear it. I mean, if this is about the sign stealing thing, then that's the only way to solve it.
All right. So
I think it's like a lot of things in society. It's like, there's an issue. We want to solve it. We come up with a way to solve it. People don't want to go the whole way to solve it. So then we half solve it, which doesn't solve anything. Right? So now we've just added another thing, but we didn't solve the original issue. And sometimes we can't even remember what we were trying to solve in the first place. And that's kind of what this thing is.
So you mentioned the 2-minute warning now being kind of a deciding point of, all right, now the rules have changed. How did that work when plays spanned the 2-minute?
Yeah, so if it goes anytime it goes below 2 minutes, it goes into the 2-minute clock rule. But now, because it's going to stop a 2-minute warning anyway, it doesn't matter. So that's the other reason why I like it. You know what I'm trying to say? So like if it gets snapped at 2 minutes and 2 seconds, it's going to get stopped at the 2-minute warning no matter what. So now it's nice that way. That's one of the other reasons why I actually like the rule. At least we're all on the same page. At least we all know what's happening. At least the refs know, the clock guys know, and all that sort of stuff.
The downside, Coach, to putting communication in everyone's headset is, as fans, we're going to lose the cool posters on the sidelines and trying to figure out what is Homer Simpson or, you know, all the interesting
well,
cards that go up.
I don't think you're going to lose those.
So you'd have that and that.
I think they're going to have both. Yeah, because, again, all right, so if I'm the quarterback, if we don't huddle, we still have to signal to people. Right. Or you're going to tell the quarterback and then the quarterback has to signal. And if the quarterback's signaling, you want to talk about being able to easily steal signals. Now there's no dummy signaler, it's just the quarterback doing it.
Oh, yeah. I meant if everybody had.
Oh, no. If everybody had it. Yeah. Now there would be.
Yeah. Then I'm not going to. Yeah. Oh,
no. Now that would be. Yeah. Yeah. You would lose the posters at that point. The posters would be lost at that point. Yeah, you would lose all that. You'd lose the signals. You'd lose all that nonsense if everybody. Yep, none of those people would exist. There'd be student managers across the country out of jobs.
So I was going to say, because I'm watching, there's three dudes doing it, and I'm trying to figure out.
You'd lose all the guys in crazy in different colors that aren't the school's colors. You'd lose all that stuff. You'd lose, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, summer. I know you always have interesting summer plans. We've talked about baseball expeditions and Alaska. What are you guys doing this summer?
Nothing. Yeah, it's wild. Like that is, and people keep asking me, and I'm like, oh man, yeah, nothing. My kids, we always planned this baseball thing to be done by this year because we knew that my oldest would be going into high school and he would have like basketball camp for his new high school team, or maybe like football camp for his new high school team, or. And all these different things, we always knew that was going to be a thing. Both my sons do not want to miss anything with their summer teams in terms of lacrosse and hockey. Yeah, so nothing. I think we're going to the Outer Banks for like a week or so. We might be doing another thing like that. But yeah, there's no far-flung excursions or anything like that. I think at one point my kids were going to go to Costa Rica, and then they were like, no, we don't want to go because we don't want to miss this tournament and that tournament. I don't know. Maybe I've spoiled them. When you're turning down trips to Costa Rica, I guess it does say that they love the games they play, which I'm cool with. I'm okay with that. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it was stuff like that. But yeah, my wife and I are just, yeah, we're just, it's going to be here watching a lot of lacrosse and watching some summer hockey and those sort of things. But yeah, probably our least quote unquote exciting summer that we've had yet.
All right, good. More time for concerts for you and your wife.
Yeah, we went to Journey the other night. It was cool.
Oh, that was at the Scope, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It was Journey and Toto. So, you know, Toto was smart, right? They ended with Africa. They didn't mess around, right? They didn't, like, put it in the middle and then go to, like, some other stuff. Like, they went, they were like, all right, we're going to go do our nonsense, and then we're going to get to Africa. We know that's what people are here for. And then Journey came on, and it was great. It was a good experience. Yeah, it was fun.
Chili Peppers coming in the end of June in Virginia Beach. I don't know if you like them, but yeah, that should be cool.
Of course. Yeah. 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 That's a good one. I need to get that one on the calendar for sure.
All right, Coach. Well, this is your chance to give any message you have to Monarch Nation. Maybe tell them to buy tickets again.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I would say. I mean, like, I would love for us, to lead the Sun Belt Conference in attendance percentage. You know what I mean? I understand that there's some people with some bigger stadiums than us and all that sort of stuff, but, you know, percentage wise, I would love for us to lead the Sun Belt Conference in attendance percentage. I don't know if you're going to find ever a better home schedule than we're going to have this year. Right. I mean, these are the people that people have been asking for, right? I mean, Virginia Tech at home, East Carolina at home. I mean, we have got an unbelievable JMU at home, Marshall at home. This is what people want. So I think it's a great message to be able to send to our administration that if this is really what you want, then we need to sell tickets and we need to go out there and get there. Again, I understand that, you know, it's people's hard-earned money. I trust me, I get that. But I'd love for everybody to come out. I know it's still fairly affordable when you consider a lot of what other entertainment options are around. And I know that getting to hang out with all these tailgates around, walking around, I do know we have some of the friendliest fans in the country. There's a lot of acceptance of coming up and hanging out with other people at tailgates and all that sort of stuff. You know, you don't have to have your own to have fun and make it a great Saturday. Hey, listen, we got a Thursday night game too. Right. So that's an opportunity for us to show the country, you know, what Old Dominion's all about. Are we going to be, you know, one of those teams that it's a weekday game and it's completely empty? And we all have seen them. Right. We've all watched those games and they're empty. Some of those games are empty. And you're like, dang, that looks rough. Let's be the opposite. Let's be the team that, you know, we can make Old Dominion. Listen, you know, we sell that thing out on that Thursday night and it's packed. That might mean a few more applications to the school, right? A few more applications to the school, up our overall rating, you know what I mean? And things like that. And all of a sudden, some of your guys' degrees look a lot better than they did 3 years ago. If we can just, let's just show people what Old Dominion and what the 757 are about by just showing up and showing out at the stadium and being loud.
Y'all heard the man. Get your tickets. I'm excited for that Thursday night game. I think the last time we had a weekday night game, things got a little frisky with visitors, and you weren't here yet, Coach, but I don't know, was it the last time we had a streaker run the field? So hopefully that doesn't happen this time.
No, I mean, I would tell you what, I would never – on football fields, that thing doesn't end well. Like, the guys on the field know how to tackle. Like, I that's the other thing. I never understood when those guys do it, like, during – while the football – players are on the field. Like, if you're gonna do that stuff, you better do it like right as this commercial break is happening or something like that, because like that can go real wrong for you and you can end up not, but I in my mind the guy's justified, the football player's justified if he ends up laying somebody out, you know what I mean? If they're on his field and quote unquote he feels endangered, he's got to be able to protect himself. So
and that streaker picked a terrible exit strategy. He had no exit strategy. and he ran into an area where if he gets tackled, he's on concrete. And there was no one else in the area, so it's easy to pick him out as a target. Smart money would have been just run through the beer garden where there's a ton of people standing around, and you can maybe get your buddy with your clothes.
I would say, I mean, you're still going to get picked out, I hope, right? I mean, how many I don't look in the beer garden a lot. Are there other naked people in the beer garden, or are we good there?
Not recently, Coach. But yeah,
I didn't know what kind of show we were running over there. I mean,
that dude was shifty. I mean, luckily the guys in your running back room have the same sort of moves, but it took probably, what, five folks to take that guy down?
But he had a good run.
I mean, he was doing spin moves.
Well, it's a lot of space, right? A lot of space, you know? A lot of space. So, I mean, that's why we spread people out on offense. A lot of space right there. It makes it a little harder.
All right, Coach. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it, and I hope you enjoy your less active summer.
I will. I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for everything you do for Old Dominion and Old Dominion Athletics. And obviously, if there's anything I can do to help you guys out, always feel free to let me know.
Thanks, Coach. Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.